We're in the book of 1 Samuel. So again, we've been going through the Bible verse by verse from Genesis to Revelation, and we thank the Lord he's got us through the New Testament. Now we're working through the Old, so we're up to 1 Samuel chapter 3. You remember last time we saw the difference between Samuel and his family who loved the Lord, and Eli and his sons who were the priests at the time. And they were more interested in feeding their own belly than they were in following the Lord. So that was a sad picture to notice on their side, but the Lord put a very strong contrast between those who want to serve him and follow him and those who are just selfishly doing their own thing. So now the Lord is going to show us in our passage here how he started to work in Samuel's young life now that he's been given to the Lord in service at the tabernacle. So we get to see how the Lord continued to do his work with him. And Samuel's an amazing person to watch. So the Lord gave us enough of his life to examine to see that great example that he has made here for us to follow the Lord. So in 1 Samuel 3, let's jump into verse 1 here. It says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli." Eli was the priest at the time. "And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation." So this is the third time that we're told in our passage here that Samuel ministered to the Lord. It was mentioned twice in chapter 2, and now again, we see it right here. So this shows us how faithful Samuel was, you know, and how he consistently was serving the Lord. And that's really amazing to me when the Lord points these things out to us, and he mentions it three times in a real short time here to let us know that here's this young boy that's just kind of sold out for the Lord. And we find out a little bit here that he's not even walking that close to the Lord. He's kind of going through the motions, doing what he knows is right, and the Lord's going to reveal himself and to Samuel and have a very amazing relationship with him too. Now, when we look at Samuel and his consistency, you know, and how he just continued to serve the Lord and did what he was supposed to do, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? We should all be having this testimony that we're consistently serving the Lord. And it's just so cool to see the pure motives here of Samuel, even as a young child, that he's willing to continue to just doing what he's supposed to do. And you notice here it says that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. We talked about this a little bit last time in closing, but there weren't many people listening to the Lord at that time, you know, since most of the people were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. We're still in the time of judges here. So they were just doing those things that they thought were okay for them to do. They weren't really paying attention to how God wanted them to live. So it tells us here the word of God was rare in those days. They weren't hearing a lot from the Lord. And it's not the Lord's situation, it's their situation. They're the ones who weren't willing to listen, okay? And this, you think about it, this should really concern our nation, since it's not really interested in what God has to say right now. You know, if the Lord takes his church out of here by the rapture, then I can almost guarantee you the word of the Lord is going to become extremely rare in our country. So they don't appreciate that now, but I think the day may come where they're thinking, why were things better in the past? And it's because we used to honor the word of the Lord, and now we're getting further and further away from that. So we continue to pray for our country too. In verse 2, it goes on, "And it came to pass at that time," so here we've got, you know, Samuel ministering before the Lord. We've got the word of the Lord isn't very open those days because nobody was listening. And then in verse 2, "It came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see." So we find out in the story it was nighttime. It was probably going to be early in the morning. We're guessing as the time goes on a little bit further, the Lord explains a few more things to us here. But here he is. He's laying down, and it says something about his eyesight here. It had gotten very, very weak on him, and he wasn't even able to see at this point. So look at the picture of Eli we've got here. He's not hearing from the Lord, because the word of the Lord was rare, so we don't see the Lord going to him with a message in our passage here. He's going to come to Samuel. And now this guy, he can't see either. So spiritually, those things go hand in hand. When you're not listening to the Lord, then you're not seeing things too well at all either. You know, you can't see what's going on, and you can't see what you're doing. You can't see where you're going. And that happens to all of us when we stop listening to the Lord. So he's in a bad situation here. I think the Lord's showing us that it's a physical thing, but it's kind of got a spiritual thing going on behind it. And when it talks about Eli not being able to see, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. He kind of turned a blind eye to what his sons were doing, and now he's facing blindness himself. You know, we kind of tend to reap to what we sow, right? And it's almost like the Lord was saying here, since you don't want to see what your sons are doing, I'm going to make it so you don't see it all. And it's really sad to think that, but the Lord has every right to do that, right? If we're not doing what we're supposed to and looking where we're supposed to, the Lord can say, it's time I just take that away from you. So it's pretty sad on his side. Now in verse 3 it goes on, and it says, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, and that's kind of letting us know that it's before the morning. They had that lamp going all night long, and it's before the morning hours, so it gives us an indication there of the time. He says, before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So we see Samuel, he's lying down also. It's time to rest, and he's doing that. And now we see the Lord called him, and he was hearing the voice of the Lord, but we find in the story as it goes on that he didn't realize it was the Lord who was speaking to him. So I think there are times when the Lord's trying to speak to us too, and we're just not getting it either. You know, we don't understand it at the time that that's what the Lord was doing. But a question comes up, and I think this is something we can deal with here. It's a real important issue for us. How did the Lord speak to Samuel at this point? We're going to see as we get even further in the story, it was apparently an audible voice that he heard, because he's thinking it's Eli, and he's going to be running to him to see what's going on. So when the Lord spoke to Samuel right here at this time, it was through a voice you could hear. If you were in the room, you would have heard it too, probably. Now, that may sound pretty cool at first, that, you know, you're the voice of God here and stuff, but let's think this one through. First, let's deal with this issue, okay? How does God speak to us? Well, primarily the way God speaks to us is through his word, all right? Some folks aren't satisfied with that answer. You know, there are people who want this experience, you know, like Samuel had, where the Lord shows up and calls him by name. But when we read on in the story, we find out that this was a really hard thing for Samuel, because he was given a very difficult message from the Lord. It was a message of judgment. And then he had the responsibility to deliver that message to his superior. So you think that one through, think, man, I'd like to be in Samuel's shoes and hear the voice of the Lord. I don't think you want to be there for what's coming next. Okay, so these experiences of the Lord might look pretty cool up front, but you want to step back a minute and think this one through. Because here he is, a young man with such a heavy thing to do here. And that's a hard thing for an adult to do. Have to deliver a message of judgment to your superior, you know, much less this young boy. And then some speculate that at this time he may have been about 12 years old, but we really don't know. We know that he's been there and he's serving the Lord. So that's kind of a guesstimate we have for his age. So this is one of those things. And you better be careful what you wish for, you know, if you think, I want that kind of experience from the Lord. I don't know if you want it that comes with a message of judgment on the tail end of it like that, you know. So for those who really are wanting that experience, there's another thing we need to look at here. If you're chasing experience, that can be a very dangerous thing. You know, you see our enemy, the devil, he would love to give you an experience just so long as it gets you away from the Word of God, which is the real thing that God wants us all to experience. It's his word. And he's written it down for us. We can open it, and this is the living word of God, we're told. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, able to pierce to the heart, you know, and the difference there in the soul. It can separate things in our life that are so minute. God speaks to us through his word, and that's so important for us. I think sometimes we want to take the easy way out. So I don't really want to spend time in the Word, Lord. Just speak to me, you know. It's almost like, bring me a drink, Lord. I'm going to sit on the beach here. I just want you to deliver that to me. And Lord says, no, I've spoken to you, but you're going to have to get in here and see it. Because in your culture, I put Bibles all over the place. So, no, we're not going to just go the shortcut for you. And if by chance, you know, we do happen to hear a still small voice in the thoughts of our mind, you know, or some prompting in our heart to tell us to lead us to go do something, we need to be very, very careful to make sure that what we're hearing lines up with the Bible. You know, somebody said this, you think about Peter's situation. You know, one moment he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the very next moment, you know, he's saying, you're not going to the cross, not if I can help it, you know. It's like, whoa. So both of those things hit him in his heart and his mind, I'm sure. And he probably thinks, I'm standing up for the Lord. And the one was good. It was from the Lord. But the other thought was not from the Lord. It was from the enemy. So and when we have these thoughts and inner things going on, we need to be really careful. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God, with the Bible. And, you know, God's never going to contradict the Bible. The Bible's His Word. He's the author of it. He wrote it. So He's never going to go against that. So it's a safety factor for us. When we sense the Lord's telling us something, we need to get in the Word of God and see, does this agree with the entire Word of God? You know, people are good at just picking a verse out they want to like and use, but does it agree with everything that God says? So that's really important for us that the Lord's not going to do that. And you know, a couple things we want to mention on this too. If we've heard from the Lord in these promptings of our heart and the thoughts of our mind, which are rare, by the way, I think the Lord does that maybe only when He has to, because we're not hearing something else, or it's an emergency almost, we got to reach that person in front of us. Then that shouldn't make us proud or arrogant to think that the Lord spoke to us. It should make us humble. I mean, you think about this. The God of the universe would care to speak with us. I mean, that's just humbleness. It's like, wow, thank you, Lord, you know? And on the other hand, too, if you haven't heard from the Lord in that way where you say, well, I've never heard His voice, I've never had the moving in my heart, I've not had these thoughts in my mind, then don't think there's something wrong with you either. You know, I found that the Lord speaks to us in the way that we might need to hear it. And some of us may be hard-headed and we're just not listening, you know, so He may have to use extraordinary measures to get our attention. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul. He needed to be knocked off his horse before he listened, right? Yeah, so count your blessings if you don't need that kind of experience, you know, to hear from the Lord. There's nothing wrong with us saying, you know, I just simply get in the Word of God and He speaks to me, He shows me things in His Word, and I'm content with that. I don't have to look for some day where He's going to blow me away while I'm sleeping and tap me on the shoulder, call my name, scare the socks off me, something like that, you know. I'm just very content that Lord just calmly speaks to me right here in the morning or the evening when I get into His Word. Yeah, so Paul had to have some extreme measures to get his attention. You know, but if you really want to hear from the Lord and serious about that, all you have to do is open God's Word and read and pay attention to what He says right there. And it's a great idea to ask in prayer before you read. You know, just say something like, Lord, please speak to me through Your Word today. And He will. God's wanting to talk to us. He wants to communicate. That's why He sent Jesus. You know, Hebrews tells us that He spoke to us in times past through the prophets and everything, but in these last days He sent His Son. He wants to talk with us. Yeah, so don't fall for the enemy on that one too, that he might whisper and say, God doesn't really care about you. He absolutely does. Why do you think He's given us His Word? He wants to communicate with us. So yeah, you could just pray and ask the Lord to speak to you. And remember, again, the majority of the time, the Lord will speak to us through His Word. So just ask before you open the Bible. When you read it every day, ask before you hear a message. You know, if you're someplace and you're having going to hear a message or in a Bible study, just pray that simple prayer. Lord, please speak to me today. Give me what You want me to hear. And the Lord will be very faithful to do that. So just ask the Lord and He will. And when you pray like that, even when you're in your morning devotion or your evening devotion, don't expect to hear that loud thundering voice in your ear. I found the Lord speaks to us with a very soft and gentle voice. So you got to listen. He may simply put a thought in your mind as you're reading His Word, you know, or you're listening to a message from His Word. And remember, the safest thing to do when you've heard something, you think it's from the Lord, make sure you check it out with the Bible. It's got to agree 100% with the Bible. The Lord is never going to contradict that. So just be thankful, you know, if you can hear from the Lord that way by getting in His Word rather than having to have some experience like Paul to get your attention. You know, be content as the Lord gives us this. So let's go on to verse 5 now. So he's heard that the Lord has called Samuel. He doesn't know who it is, and he says, here I am. He gives a quick answer. And then in verse 5, it says, so he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call you. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. So look at Samuel's response here. I think this is really awesome. He first of all, when he hears the voice, he says, "Here I am," right away. You know, it's like, "Oh man, what does that guy want again?" You know, and roll over and wish that guy leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep here, you know. But right away, he's here I am, right? And then he comes running, it says. That is so cool to see about him, that he's anxious to do whatever needs to be done, you know. And he had a great servant's heart. And think about this, you know, he cared about Eli, obviously. I mean, he was looking up to him, we see through for these things here. And Eli was old and blind at this point, right? So maybe Samuel was thinking, he's calling, maybe he fell out of bed. He needs help or something, you know. So he's here I am, and he's coming running, you know, for that situation. But either way, you know, Samuel was anxious to help. That was his heart. And that's what our attitude should be too. We should care about people and be anxious to help them when they have a need. So little Samuel here, he gives us a great example of how we're supposed to live our life before the Lord. I love to see that with him. Now, go on to verse 6 here. It says, "Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose, and he went to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.'" So Eli's pretty patient at this point, sounds like, and he says, "Just, it wasn't me, just go lay down. I didn't call you." And he's probably thinking Samuel's dreaming or something. I don't know what's going on here, but he's just dreaming. So Eli doesn't get what's going on at this point. He doesn't get it yet, okay? He doesn't even consider that this might be the Lord speaking to Samuel. Hasn't crossed his mind yet, all right? And I think that there are times when the Lord tries to speak to us and we don't get it right away either. And then after enough time goes by, then it dawns on us, that was the Lord trying to tell me that, you know? And you may have experienced that in the car when something happened, you're thinking, why is this going on? And you find out, that was the Lord protecting me, and I didn't even see it at the time. I didn't know. Yeah, so we're thankful. We got to be careful with stuff and try to keep the Lord at the front of our thoughts, because there's stuff he's doing sometimes, and we just totally miss it, you know, like Eli was here. So verse 7, the Lord gives us an interesting side note. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." So this was the beginning of Samuel hearing from the Lord personally. And from this point on, the Lord was going to use Samuel as a prophet and speak through him. So it's a real interesting moment. The Lord lets us see how he got into Samuel's life here in a very personal way and was able to start using him. You know, but up to this point, you think about this, the boy Samuel was just working for the Lord daily. He was following Eli's instructions at the tabernacle. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. Didn't know the Lord yet, hadn't heard anything from the Lord, but he's just doing what he's supposed to do. So very honorable character we see in this young man. Do you remember when the Lord started to reveal himself to you? You remember the day where you noticed him starting to work in your life? You know, maybe it was through someone coming across your path and telling you about Jesus. Maybe it was someone telling you that they were praying for you. You know, whatever it was where you noticed the Lord was kind of chipping away at your heart and trying to get through, you know. But it's interesting when you think back on those things. And I know all of us, we've got a unique story as to how God kind of showed up in our life. But you just think back to how precious that was, that God took the time to start working in our life. That's an amazing thing. We can just say, thank you, Lord. You know, whatever your situation was, whatever circumstance that God started to tap on your shoulder, we just thank you for that. That's an awesome moment. And Lord, let us see that moment here for Samuel, which is really neat. Verse 8, it goes on, "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." Three times this happened. "So he arose, and he went to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy." So after three times, the light finally comes on for Eli. And he's thinking this through. Man, if he's hearing a clear voice and it's not mine, there's nobody here but him and me and the Lord, because we're at the place of the tabernacle and the presence of God is right there. So the light finally comes on for him. And it's interesting. Could it be that Eli was so used to not hearing from the Lord himself that it never crossed his mind that maybe this was the Lord calling to Samuel? I mean, we see that he wasn't doing too good a job in raising his sons, and, you know, it's just a sad picture to see there. So it appears, too, that the alarm was going through to continue doing this until Eli woke up, so to speak, you know, and realized what's going on. Now, it's interesting, for some reason, which we'll see later on, the Lord really wanted Eli to know that he was going to speak to Samuel. I mean, you think about that. You know, this was repetition for Eli's sake. Because at any time, Lord could have said, Samuel, I am the Lord, and I'm going to speak to you. And he didn't do that. But he set this up so that who was getting a ring every moment here? It was Eli. So this was for his benefit. And the Lord's going to use this later on. He does have a reason for Eli knowing about this. So let's go on to verse 9. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, knowing it's the Lord now, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went, and he lay down in his place. Eli, he gives some really good counsel to Samuel at this point. Notice what he says here. He said, if he calls you. So Eli's not taken for granted that the Lord might continually keep calling Samuel, but he says, if the Lord does this. So I think that's a really cool thing that he says. You know, we should never take the Lord for granted. We might think we know what the Lord's doing, but we should never take him for granted, you know. So I really appreciate that about Eli, the way he's doing this. And then Eli wisely told Samuel to approach the Lord as a servant, because he said, your servant is listening. You know, that's such a good reminder to us in our society, where we somehow think that we're the boss, you know. We're kind of raised that way with the independent spirit of the American here, that we're in charge and we're the boss, you know. And I don't know if you've seen this before or not, but there have been times when I've heard people praying from other churches, and they sound like they're treating the Lord as though he were their butler or something, you know, almost demanding that he do the things they're saying. You know, and it made me shudder when I heard people praying that way, and I was thinking, he's the Lord, and you're the servant, you know, and I don't think you should be talking to him like that. But I've heard some of the TV preachers doing that same thing, and that's probably where they're getting it from. But yeah, we speak to the Lord, we should be very respectful. He is the Lord, and we are the servant. So I think that was cool that Eli reminded Samuel, if the Lord is speaking to you, you need to remind yourself, I'm the servant, and say that out loud. Verse 10 goes on, now the Lord came and stood and called, as in other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Now, do you notice that it says the Lord came and stood this time? So it sounds like the Lord actually appeared before Samuel this time. He didn't do that before. It sounded like you're just calling him with a voice, but now he actually shows up. Pretty amazing picture. What a special moment in the life of young Samuel. You know, and the Lord even called his name twice here. So I don't know. I don't know if Samuel was maybe dozing off a little bit, and Lord was just kind of gently calling him, Samuel, Samuel, you know, or what. But he does mention his name twice. And we're not told, you know, with Samuel, he kind of left out one of the words he was told to say. Did you notice? Eli said, say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And Samuel just said, speak, for your servant hears. He left out the word Lord. And we're not told why he did that, but I wonder if maybe he was a little scared at that point and maybe just plain intimidated, you know, and he couldn't get the word out. I mean, that would be awful humbling if you're thinking this through, that I've been serving this Lord and now he's here. And maybe he couldn't even get himself to say Lord, you know, it's like, oh, I say that word, I'm not going to make it. But he did remember to call himself a servant, and that was a good thing. And most importantly, Samuel asked the Lord to speak. So he was wanting to hear from the Lord. And it's very important that we are willing to hear from the Lord. You know, and we can show that willingness by opening our Bible when we're at home and asking the Lord to speak to us before we read. We need to hear from God, you know, and he's waiting to communicate with us. So don't neglect the opportunities that we have of opening our Bible and finding out what the Lord is wanting to say to us. He loves us. He wants to speak with us. Verse 11 goes on. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. So the Lord was saying that he's going to do something that was so shocking that when it was going, it was going to actually hurt people's ears, you know, meaning it was going to just hurt to hear about this, what God was about to do. And that's a scary thing when you hear that from the Lord. You know, did you ever have some bad news brought to you and it was so bad it just plain it hurt to hear it, you know? Yeah, that's the idea here. And in other places in the Old Testament, the Lord uses this same phrase about tingling ears because of a message that's going to be brought. And every time, it was a warning of a severe judgment that was coming. You know, we won't look at those today, but 2 Kings 21 has one passage, and Jeremiah 19 is another one where it mentions those tingling ears, and the message is a pretty scary one when you read those. Verse 12 goes on, "In that day," Lord's continuing to tell this message to Samuel, "in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Scary, scary message. And that's the one that was given to, this message was given to young Samuel. So a very heavy thing for him to carry. And I imagine it was very painful for him to hear as well, knowing that this Eli and his family were done in the eyes of the Lord. There are times when the Lord has to reveal things to us too that are pretty painful for us to hear. Things that we'd really rather not hear at all, you know, but they're essential for us to know, just like it was important for Samuel to know this too. And if the Lord gives us a message that's hard like that and we're supposed to deliver it to somebody, then we need to be faithful and do that, you know. And I think the Lord will work the situation out where you'll end up right in front of that person, even though you may not have been planning to, but all of a sudden here you are and the Lord's prompting you, "I brought you here to tell them what I told you." Now, we notice, too, that this was the same message the Lord had already sent to Eli. Remember where the man of God showed up in chapter 2, and we saw that story, and he told him the same thing from the Lord. So now Samuel is the second witness to Eli that the Lord was going to bring judgment against him and his family line. And the sad reminder here, too, is that no sacrifice or offering was going to be able to help in this situation. So sad. Eli had allowed his sons to go too far without stopping them. So he was just as guilty as his sons, according to the eyes of the Lord here. And it wasn't like something, you know, couldn't have been done sooner, like repenting, you know, but it was just that the Lord knew that they were never going to repent. How sad. So in verse 13 there, you know, the Lord lets Samuel know that he'd already told Eli about this coming judgment. That's what he said, "For I've told him I'm going to judge his house forever." He's already aware of this information. And somebody pointed out that, you know, although Eli may have messed up by not dealing with his sons as a father, that he should have at least dealt with them as their boss, you know, being over them in the work of the Lord there. So he was doubly guilty, both being their priest and their father. That's a pretty heavy trip on him. You know, it's a scary thing here, too, to find out that there's a line that people can cross where there's not going to be any repentance. And it's not God's fault on that. It's the person's fault. The Lord said, you know, that he doesn't take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he'd rather that they repent. That's the heart of the Lord. So when it gets to this point, I think it breaks the Lord's heart to have to send this message to Eli again. I don't think the Lord was all excited to say, "Man, I can't wait to tell him this." I think the Lord was saddened as well. And we need to learn that from the Lord, you know, that we shouldn't rejoice when God has to punish people, because he's not rejoicing over that. You know, it's a sad thing when judgment has to happen. So verse 15 goes on. "So Samuel lay down until morning, and he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision." And we understand that. You know, it's been said that Samuel probably didn't get any sleep after that encounter, and I don't think we would either. Not only the Lord showing up, but the message he told you is like, "Oh, wow, this wasn't the Christmas story I was hoping to hear, you know. This was some bad news." And it looks like he kind of got busy in the morning. You know, it says he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, was going through his duties, and he's probably hoping to avoid seeing Eli. It's like, "Man, I hope I don't run into him this morning," you know. We can imagine how painfully awkward that was going to be for young Samuel. And he was probably thinking to himself, "Man, I just hope he doesn't ask me about last night, you know. Even if I see him, maybe he'll forget about that, you know. And of course, the Lord's setting this whole thing up. So verse 16, then Eli called Samuel, and he said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. You know, and we see this, even though Samuel was afraid, when Eli called, he responded right away. So Samuel has an amazing character, you know, to not run and hide from this situation. And there are times when we're just going to need to pray for strength and boldness. The Lord's going to put us in situations too. And you might find yourself, you know, put on the spot, just like he was here. And it's not about you when that happens, you know, as much as it is about the person Lord's trying to speak through you to. He wants to reach them. And that's something I try to remind myself of, you know. When God puts us somewhere and we feel on the spot and it's awkward and you know what you have to say, but you hesitate saying it, it's the Lord trying to reach that person in front of you. It's not about you. You're the messenger. That's all we are. So that's a good thing to remind ourselves. But it helps me when I'm in a time like that. Verse 17 then, he says to him, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. So we see something interesting here. Eli hasn't heard the message yet. He just knows that the Lord spoke. So he tells Samuel, don't you hide this thing from me. What made him think that Samuel would hide this particular message from him? I think he knew what was coming, you know. And then he goes on to say, may the Lord do so to you, you know, whatever that message is, if you hide it from me and you don't tell me the whole thing. So why would Eli say that to Samuel? You know, it sure seems like Eli already knew what the message was about, and he must have known it was about the judgment the Lord had already told him about. Because he's saying, I hope the Lord does this to you if you don't tell me the answer, you know. So he's really pressuring Samuel, and Samuel's going to tell him. And you know, it's humbling when the Lord has to send somebody else to speak to you about something because we're not paying attention to the Lord ourselves, you know. Sometimes I don't think that we may be intentionally not listening to the Lord like Eli appears to be doing here, but sometimes I think maybe we're just distracted, you know, by something that we're focusing on and we're just not hearing what the Lord's trying to say to us. And at least I hope that's true, and it's happened to me before, you know, somebody else had to speak to me because I didn't get it from the Lord, you know, in his word or something. So either way, it should be a humbling thing when the Lord does that to us. Then verse 18 goes on. I'm sorry, verse 18, it says, then Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. So he told him everything he was supposed to. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. So here's Eli. He didn't argue about what the Lord had just said and what he heard from Samuel. Instead, he said, it's the Lord, you know, when the statement was made. So he understood that the Lord's sovereign, he's righteous, and everything he does is just. So you don't hear Eli saying, that's not right. The Lord shouldn't have said that about me. He shouldn't have done that. No, he knows it's the Lord. What are you going to say? Then Samuel, he delivered this very difficult message. And you and I may have to deliver a difficult message to somebody too. You know, there's times when we get to tell people the good news. But there's also times when we need to tell people they're doomed to go to hell without Christ. If they're not receiving the good news, they might need to hear the rest of the story. And that's not a pretty one to have to tell. You know, we may need to explain to them about all the pain and torment going on in hell. And then maybe go on and explain about the lake of fire, you know, and who's going to participate in that if they don't have Christ. Yeah, so the Lord calls us to deliver a tough message to a dying world, you know, and we can do this because of the strength we get from Jesus. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So even when the Lord puts us on that spot where we have to tell people the tough message that if you don't have Christ, you've got a horrible future to look forward to, you know. So the Apostle Paul, you know, he said, I can do all things through strength in Christ. That was the Lord speaking through him. And he actually practiced that, because listen to the words of Paul here in the book of Acts. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. So Paul was able to say, you know, to the Ephesian elders when he spoke to them in the book of Acts, that I told you everything. I didn't hold anything back. So they got the good news and the bad news. They got the full story. And Lord willing, we'll be able to say that too when we stand before the Lord, that Lord, when we had to do it, we told people the bad news as well. Verse 19, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. So the Lord was with Samuel. What a testimony. You know, we can't ask for a better testimony than that in our life, that the Lord was with us. And it says that none of the words that Samuel gave from the Lord were wasted, you know. It says none of the words fell to the ground. And it means that they all came true. Everything that the Lord gave him, it came to pass. So none of them fell short. And this was the test of the true prophet of the Lord. 100% of their prophecies had to come true. That's what the Lord said. If they're mine and they're hearing from me, then everything they say is going to be absolutely true. Because it's coming from the God of truth, right? And that's important for us to get, you know, because there have been many false prophets in the past, and there will continue to be false prophets in the world until Jesus comes back to set up his kingdom. So we've got to be aware, if somebody claims to be a prophet, claims to be telling you what God said, it better be 100% accurate. Otherwise, the Bible says they're not the real thing. They're a false prophet. So if somebody claims to be a prophet from the Lord and they don't have all their prophecies that are quite lining up, well, we need to be very careful when that's the case, you know. And when you think about it here, with Samuel, everything that he said came to pass because it was from the Lord, right? And you ask the question, well, how was it that every prophecy took place? Well, he got everything from the Lord. And you think about it, the prophecy, the guy who's carrying those prophecies, he's just like the spiritual mailman, you know? He's supposed to get the message from the Lord and deliver it to whomever the Lord says. Whatever address the Lord gives him, that's where he's supposed to take the message. So there's no need to ever glorify the prophet, you know? And we never see Samuel asking for that, which is awesome. And he was simply carrying God's message. And you think about this today. You and I have been given God's message, you know, the message of the gospel. So in a sense, we're carrying that. We're acting like a prophet. We got the role of a prophet here of taking that message to the world. So that's what the Lord calls us to do as well. And we're just the spiritual mailman in that one. We don't have anything that we did to make the message true. God did all that work. We're just carrying the message. So verse 20 goes on, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, so it means everywhere, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. So all Israel knew that Samuel was a true prophet. They knew he was sent by the Lord. And that's really important for them, but that they recognize it, because the Lord had a very important job for Samuel. He was going to use Samuel to lead them from the time of the judges into the time of the kings. And the Lord was going to use him to spiritually influence the whole nation. So it's really important that they understand this guy's from God. We better pay attention to what he says. Then in verse 21, it goes on, then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So how did the Lord reveal himself to Samuel here? It was by his word. Don't miss that. That's how the Lord wants to reveal himself to you and me. You know, so we need to get into his word and then pay attention when he shows us something there. Now, it's interesting. Look back at verse 7 in the same passage here. It said, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And then verse 21, it says, then the Lord appeared to him again and to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So somebody pointed out this passage started with Samuel not knowing the Lord, not having the word of the Lord revealed to him, but it ends with the opposite. Samuel now knew the Lord, and the word of the Lord was revealed to him. And this is a beautiful reminder to us that a person cannot understand the Bible unless the Lord opens their understanding to get it. You know, for a believer, we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and he's teaching us and making God's word understandable to us. So look at 1 Corinthians 2, a second of the New Testament. We want to remind ourselves of this important truth here. And I'm thankful the Lord took time to explain that to us here in 1 Corinthians 2. So it's just pretty plain the way the Lord tells us here. In 1 Corinthians 2, if you want to look down to verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Notice this. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And notice verse 14. But the natural man, talking about the lost man, the one who does not know Christ, he's not spiritual, he's a natural man. He does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. And here's why, because they are spiritually discerned. And before we come to Christ, the Bible says we are spiritually dead. So you can't get anything unless you have the Spirit of God teaching you these things. And we're so blessed to have the Spirit in us as believers, that the Lord, he's wanting to communicate with us. He wants us to know his things. He wants to explain these things to us. So that's a real joy to know that. And I just want to tie the verse 1 in chapter 4 a little bit in, and then we'll pick it up next time there. But way back in Samuel 4, it says, you know, it said at the end of chapter 3 that the Lord revealed his word again to Samuel. And then it says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. So it's a really cool picture here that as the Lord spoke to Samuel, Samuel then relayed the message to Israel, and he was the prophet. He did exactly what the prophet was supposed to do. So it's really cool that we see the Lord doing that. So at this time, this point, Israel wasn't paying attention to his message yet. We're going to see that as we get into chapter 4, kind of just a little preview of what's coming there. Israel still wanted to go down that road of hard knocks, and we'll talk about that next time. So now the Lord has somebody in place. He's got Samuel right there. He's going to speak for the Lord. He's going to be faithful to the Lord. And all Israel has to do is wake up and listen, because God is a spokesperson right there in the midst of them. So it's a really cool time for Israel. They don't get it yet. They don't realize what God has done for them, but it will show up. So chapter 4 is kind of a tough one, as we'll get into that next time, Lord willing, because they're going to face some losses. That's again because they're not listening to the Lord. So we'll get a chance to see more of that. All right, as we close at this point, you know, Jesus loves us so much that he died on the cross for us. It was his choice to do that. He was willing to take your punishment and mine on himself. You know, he suffered. He died for our sins. He paid a price in full. He said it's finished, and we thank the Lord for that. And then God raised him from the dead to prove that the sacrifice he made for you and for me was fully acceptable. And we say, thank you, Lord, you know, that our sins have been completely removed, washed away by the blood of Christ. It's what Revelation tells us in chapter 1 there. So we're very grateful for that. And, you know, if you've been thinking, you know, I want to hear from the Lord, you have every opportunity to do that. All you got to do is open his word and pray and ask him to do that. So let's pray right now. Father, we do thank you for the many blessings you give us. Lord, as you blessed us with your word, that we're able to carry your word with us. We can even have it on our phone in a digital format. We can have it all over the place. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you've given us freedom in our country to do that. But Lord, I know there are times that we just neglect the opportunities you give us. There are times we just get ourselves busy with other things and we're not listening to your word. Father, I pray today, change us in our heart. Give us a desire to want to get into your word, to want to listen to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the example of Samuel that you gave us, to see that even a young boy could be so faithful. So Father, put that heart in us, the heart of faithfulness, that we could serve you and be quick to do it, quick to help others like he did, and be able to take your word and boldly proclaim it to others. And we need your help to do that, Lord. And thank you for your spirit you blessed us with. We give you all the praise, Lord, in this, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to stand for our final song.